own computer so that I could see what the slides are. All right. And before we start, so we have a short prayer. Let's bow down. Father God, we're really happy to be here and come into your presence, Lord. And we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us, guide us, so that give us the wisdom that we can understand your word. And we ask you to lead the following time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's test. No, this one? Ah, the other one. Okay, the other side. Okay. My story about addiction. I don't know, what do you feel when you hear the word addiction? You're going to be scared because addiction is very bad, right? All the bad things that comes with it, that is attached to it. Okay, but do I have any experience with my addiction? Well, I was actually way, way back in my grade school time. One day, my mom called me over, and he was serious and look at me, and he says, "Tom," of course, she called me my Chinese name, right? "Don't you ever get into any of this addiction, because the addiction is going to kill you. And these are the ones." And of course, she told me in Chinese. Any young people can read all this Chinese? No? Let me tell you what are those. Those are the big four, right? Prostitute, right? And then what's next? Gambling. Don't ever get into gambling. Alcohol. Drinking is bad. Drinking alcohol is bad. And of course, the last one is drug. Drug is so common. I mean, even in the high school, you know, as long as they outside the school boundary, you can see people selling drugs to the high schoolers. So she was very serious. And I was wondering why all of a sudden she was talking to me about these things. And very soon I found out that my father was a drug addict. That was shocking to a I was 8 years old at that time. What? My father was smoking opium. Wow. That was like a bomb. And nobody really told me directly. I just overheard it. Overheard the conversation between my brother and my mom. Like, my mom asked my older brother, says, "What happened?" And my brother said that, "Yeah, I saw him that went to the alleyway. And then he signed to the guy sitting there, and then they exchanged something." Of course, that alleyway is famous for drug dealing. Oh my goodness. So I wasn't the one that is having the addiction problem, but I'm affected by this. What is this so-called the lateral damage? It's like a bomb. You're just getting lateral damage. You're not directly hurt, but the lateral damage was quite bad. Well, first of all, all the addicts, they take all the money and they spend it on drugs. So what's left? Not much. It's just the basic enough. Every day I know that, we go and, go to the grocery shopping twice a day in the old days, right? I remember every meal, before the meal, my mother would get $1 from my dad. And 50 cents is for the rice. We buy rice every time. It's not like, you got a big bucket of rice at home. No. And rice is not like today. rice is important, you know, otherwise you stay hungry. You don't eat those mediums, no meat, right, basically. So they need the rest of the 50 cents, I remember, 30 cents is for meat, right? Pork usually, which is cheaper, and 20 cents of veggie. And also, I remember I went to the primary, the elementary school, and the tuition was $8 a month. $8 a month. And we're supposed to pay the tuition in the first week so that the teacher can, you know, finish all these things and then give it to the school office. But I am always the one that hold the teacher back. And he wasn't too happy because, you know, the middle of the month and you still don't have the money to pay the $8. Wow, because my father just couldn't get the money. That was one of the lateral damage, the physical poverty. But actually, that doesn't hurt me because I can't remember how, I wasn't hungry, like, I didn't skip a meal. I might be hungry, but you know, I have food every day. But that hurts me more and still lingering after many years was the emotional damage. Why? Because we were in a very tight community. Everybody knows everyone. You sneeze, no? The other guy knows, they can hear it. Well, and of course, very soon after my father started taking opium, other people know, my neighbor knows before me. And one day I walk by, you know, and there's a guy standing in the store in front of the shop and just call me, right? Didn't call me by my name. What did he call me? It's translated as white powder boy. And you know what white powder means? Opium. At those days, right? Hey, you, white powder boy! I tried to ignore him and keep on walking. Hey, you, the skinny white powder boy! I look at him with disgust, you know, just keep on walking. And it hurts me so much. Even that I wasn't the one that had the addiction, but I carry the trauma. That is how bad it is. And imagine, this is only lateral damage. What if you are the one? You are the addict. Okay, let's understand what is meant by, well, if my mother were here, I would tell her that there is one more adding to the big four, the list. And this is new. She would never thought of it. And this is called a digital addiction. Now, a lot of people, a lot of parents, I mean, I'm actually a pastor of the other church for quite a while, and I'm still the consulting pastor. And I deal with the parents, a lot of the parents from China, and they always come up to me and say, Pastor Tom, my son is getting this digital addictions, you know, he's stuck with a computer and he's keep playing the video games. I say, oh, no. Let me ask you some questions. So not everybody playing video games has the digital addiction, right? I'm going to ask, you know, so did he miss school? No, he didn't miss school. So what is his average? 80 to 90. Well, that's not bad, right? Did he have any exercise or did he go to any club? Yeah, I don't know. Most of them go, you know, badminton or swimming or some kind of clubs, right? They do physical exercise. So I asked, what you don't like about your son? He could do better. You know, he could get 90, 95. And he could do some more household chores. He never cleaned up his room. I say, you're talking about teenagers, no? Tell me who actually cleaned up your room. Young people, I don't. Even I don't. Might be once in a while, you know, when it gets too messy. So, let's make it clear. Not everybody has a cell phone, has a computer, and play video games, have the digital addiction. But these are some of the criteria. And if you have three or more of those, you are very much likely a digital addiction guy. Let's look at it. Loss of control. The first one is basically it says like if you have a compulsive and excessive use of it. Compulsive, like you cannot stop, right? This is what it means by loss of control. You're compulsive, right? And excessive, you know, you keep on using it. And it says number two is preoccupation. What you can think of every day awake is video game. Then you have a problem. Neglecting your responsibility. Well, if you should go to school, you don't. Just skip school. If you're supposed to do your homework, you skip it. Then you have a problem, right? Otherwise, if you're doing everything, you're okay. Withdrawal symptoms. This is a big word. Do you know what it means by withdrawal symptoms? If you take away that thing, you're going to be tense. You're going to have a problem. That's called withdrawal symptoms. If somebody stopped you from playing video games, you're okay. You just go and have another thing. You do other things. Then it's okay. But if somebody take away your video game, you get upset, you're going to, you know, your heart is raising, you're going to raise a voice, you try to grab it back by force, or you're going to hit somebody, then you're suffering from this so-called withdrawal symptoms. You cannot sleep, you cannot rest. Then you have a problem. Five is tolerance. Tolerance is something like you keep tolerating. If you play 1 hour video games, you're happy. And then what you mean by tolerance is after a while, you want more to get the same satisfaction. That is very common with all the addictions. You know, same thing with opiums or alcohol. You need to get more and more to get the same effect. That's called tolerance. Number six, it's important. Negative impact on the relationship. You know, you start, making friends only on online. You don't have any physical friends. You run into your classmate, you don't say hi. You don't have any social activities. Your relationship, time with your family members, is next to nothing. So then you have a problem. Seven is using digital device to escape. And this is a really sad thing because you try to escape from something. Say you don't want to do homework. You're just going to go and play video games. And also there are people who are adults, they couldn't face certain things. Grieving, they don't want to face grieving, they go and play video games. It's okay for a while, but if it's prolonged, then it's a problem. Or somebody who's unemployed, they don't want to go and find a job, and they try to escape by playing video games. Then you have a problem, right? Last is that even though you know the consequences, that playing video game or spending time on the digital devices is not good for yourself, but you keep on doing it, then that is one of the criteria too. So think about, remember those eight things. If you have more than three, then you got to really listen to my son. But if not, then you can just take it as an advice. No, be careful about that. All right. Now, it is dangerous these days with the digital devices. Why is it? Because it is the only thing that you can get addicted to and legal, right? Well, I mean, yeah, you can legally drink. If you get to, 18? You can go to a bar and equally you can drink. But Canada, you still cannot be legally drinking. Well, you have an age limit, right? That's why, you know, those first-year students and 17-year-old, they would get the ID from other guys to get into a pub, right? But at least somewhat we are protected. But on the other hand, digital device, you can give it to a kid, even to a baby. Did you ever see that? A crying baby. The parent couldn't stop them crying. Okay, get the video. And then all of a sudden, the baby was attracted to it. And he just freeze, you know, just keep on watching that. And that is still okay with it. Second is relatively cheap and readily accessible. You know, cell phone is easy, you know, especially when you can start with a used cell phone, right? So it's relatively easy and it's Wi-Fi anywhere, everywhere. So you can start cheap. And then the other thing is it's so appealing. So at the beginning, it offers you an entertainment, an excitement in a boring life, you know. I do my exercise in the mall, and I just keep walking. And sometimes I just, you know, take a look around people. If the person is sitting, their hands must be holding a cell phone. If it's on the escalator, the escalator is only less than a minute. And I see 80% of those people standing on the escalator, they're looking at the cell phone. Right? It is everywhere. And then the other thing is, it's dangerous because it is used as a gift and an award for teens and children. Well, if you get all A's, I'll give you, a computer. I'll give you a video game. And then it fits all ages. Wow, it just encompasses all the ages, everywhere, every time. For actually older people, it's good. If they can start video games, spending the time, especially people in the old-age home, right? Because they need to spend the time. But not so much for the teenagers, young people, and the children, right? So, and as I said, it can be used anywhere, anytime. You go pass by a bus stop, everybody is looking at the cell phone. They're going to miss the bus. All right. Now, it is, as I said, is widely spread and infused into people's life. It actually is there. It's integrated into people's life. And this is what I got from January this year in the New York Post. What did it say? Estimate of 210 million people suffer from the social media addiction. They're addicted to the social media. And what does that mean? If it is a withdrawal, it can result in this mood swing. it actually affect them with a disrupted sleep. A lot of people couldn't sleep because they spend too much time before going to bed, before they sleep, just, you know, doing the social media. Do you know that those Blu-rays, you know, will give you, will excite you so much that you cannot sleep well, right? And it stopped you from, stopped them from doing a proper hobby. And one of the statements is here, says it really shocking, is that they say they cannot possibly live without it. That is TikTok. But I don't know, do we still have TikTok in the States? I don't know what. Okay, they came back. Because, you know, a lot of people cannot live without it, right? And while the others find themselves very compulsively checking the social media platform, every now and then they pull out their cell phone, let's check, is there any message or not? And doing that, you will spend a lot of time, a lot of your time, without realizing it. That is how dangerous it is. It is like a forest fire. Forest fire is always start with small one. Just a few here and there started. But what happened is, it's actually keep growing and growing to a point that is out of control. Fire, we always say, what is it? Fire is a good servant, because it helps us to keep warm, to cook. But if it becomes a master, when it gets out of control, then it is a bad master. You cannot control it. And the sad thing is, even though you know it's bad, and you try to get rid of it, it is very hard. Once you get hooked, it is very hard and very painful. It's a painful process for detoxification. Why? Because physically, emotionally, you're going to suffer this withdrawal symptom, as I said before. But psychologically too, you find that your world is empty without your digital world, because you have been living in a virtual world, and all of a sudden you're back to reality. You find yourself very bored and lack of life goal. What should I do? What am I doing? I tell you, I think 2-3 months ago, I had my experience of a little bit addicted to digital video games. I was saying to myself, well, maybe I'll start something to help with my, you know, to get some mental exercise. So I say, well, let's start playing the Sudoku. Anybody like to play Sudoku here? Yeah. It's a nice game, right? Train your mind. And after a few games, after a few days, I find out that they have a tournament. They put me on tournament. And they put me in, show me the position. I say, oh, this is interesting. So I play a few, I spend a few more, or some time more, to get to the top. That is the hook. Because you want, you always want to win. You want, always want to get satisfied. And this is what they can give it to you. You're going to get another level. You're going to get higher. Now you're the first. Wow, that's good. And of course, I spend, you know, some time playing it. The interesting is, the next day when I went to the same site, I become the third. I say, no way. So what am I going to do? You guess it. I spend some time, some more time playing just to get up to the top, right? And before I knew it, I spent 2 hours just to get to the top. And this thing's going to repeat every day. Even a few hours afterwards, somebody will be higher than me. What am I chasing? What am I chasing? Why am I wasting all this time trying to be the top in that tournament that nobody knew about? Nobody knew that I was first sometimes, you know, for a short moment, for a day, right? And what is that worth to me? But in return, I spent a lot of time putting into it. That is the problem. And also, it gives me the satisfaction. Wow. And sometimes, even now, well, in between times, I sit down in front of my computer and say, might be one more game of Sudoku. And you know that it's never one game. You know, one leads to another, leads to another. Now, the fact is, not everybody, well, even though you're deep into the addiction, digital addiction, there are times that you're going to reflect on yourself, why do I keep playing it? What am I chasing? This is a time of sobering up, right? And for me, it's a sobering time. I just sort of come up with this Bible verse. It's just telling me, well, how should I spend my time? I have the right to do anything. Wow, isn't that nice? I can spend the time however I want. But not everything is beneficial. Ah, that is the criteria. We should use our wisdom to choose how I should spend my time. And the end point is, it has to be beneficial to me. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Oh, that really hurts. Because sometimes, most of the time, when I am playing the video game, I am not the master. What does that mean? That means I cannot say no. I cannot say stop. I am not the master. The video game is the master. So you can see that gradually it's going to eat into our lives. The worst thing is the mental thing. Physical things you can bounce back much easier. As I told you, you know, my father's addiction didn't quite hurt me physically or for a short while. But the emotional damage is much more long-term. People will suffer from anxiety, depression, stress, and low self-esteem. I've seen all these things happen to young people that is addicted to video games. All the time they're very anxious. They try to get to the computer. They try to go around, you know, different ways. You know. One of the kids actually get up, stay up at night, and the parents actually put in the password, right? And for the Wi-Fi, somehow he found it. Somehow he got through the Wi-Fi and he stayed up playing video games. But he has this burden all of a sudden that he has to keep it in secret. The anxiety is there. Of course, it will give you depression because, like me, I cannot be the top all the time. And then, of course, you will, at the expenses of your studies, and you won't get too much a high mark. And then you get depressed. Stressed because you don't have time to do the things you needed to do. And then come naturally. You look at yourself. You're not good for anything but video games. You can be proud and say that, oh, you know, what is that called? Call for glory? I'm very good in that video games. But does it society has the same value as you see it? So all of a sudden you find you have a very low self-esteem. You look at yourself, you're not good for anything. And then the productivity will reduce. If you're working, it's not very good because your boss wouldn't like you. Neither your spouse wouldn't like you. And if you're parents, you're not a very good parents either. So all the damages that addiction can do to us. But I want to stress one more thing, which is the worst among all this, is the breaking down of the relationship. Because this addiction is slowly dragging, taking the time. And when you have left with no time, that means you're ignoring people around you. And relationship needs time to nurture. Right? That's why Ephesians say that be very careful then how you live. Not as the unwise, but as wise, and making most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The days are evil. I don't know whether you agree with me or not, but if you look around, it is a lot of evil things, bad things, is happening around. I mean, a lot of people don't like Trump. I don't know. Everybody has his good and his bad. But one thing I like about Trump is that he clarified our gender. You can only be male or female, nothing else. But here we are in Canada, we have all this undecided transgender, whatever you name it. The days are evil. That's why we have to be careful how we use our time and all this opportunity, to keep our relationship. So be careful. Don't waste your time. Don't waste the unnecessary time. Reserve enough time for yourself to keep and nurture your relationship with people around you. And I say especially with God. Sin breaks down relationship. Remember, when humankind committed the first sin, what happened? Well, Adam says that, God, it is that woman you sent me that told me to eat the forbidden fruit. Boom, here you are. You got a broken relationship with man and woman, husband and wife. Right? And then what? And then later on, we have broken relationship with humankind and animal. Right? In the Garden of Eden, all the animals are living with human being in harmony. Nobody's scared of anything. Well, in the wild, I was in Australia. And people say that Australia, if you go to the wild, the wilderness, there would be a lot of things to kill you. Everything is poisonous. And I know a lot of girls are afraid of cockroaches. My son's afraid of cockroaches. Mouse, rats. You're afraid of them. Broken relationship. We even have a broken relationship with the land. That's why we have to sweat before we will get the produce. from the land. Broken relationship. That's why we have to undo it. Christ has already done his part. We need to reserve the time and effort to build, nurture, repair our relationship with people around us, with God too. Okay. So that is one of the things that addiction will hurt us. Now, let's look at some of the Bible verse that we were looking at the passage. Well, we are not the first having problem. We are not the one that have the struggle. I think in Romans 7, Paul really trying to express his inner struggle with sin. It says in verse 18, "For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have decided to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." Here already stating is something inside me, they're fighting, they're struggling. I desire good, I want to do good, but I cannot do it. It's a sad thing. Who's controlling you? Seems like it's out of control. And 19 is actually says that. "For I do not do I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Paul is telling me, oh, you see, it's not just internal struggle, it's actually in action. I am doing the things that I don't want to do. And continue to say that I'm being controlled by sin. Because in verse 20, he says, "It is no longer I who did it. I'm not responsible. I am under control by sin." Right? "But it is the sin living in me that does it." It is a sad thing. And then he keeps on saying, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me." Right there with me. So there are two things going hand in hand, or neck to neck, fighting, competing. But inside, for in my inner being, I delight God's law, which is a good thing. Go on with the 22nd and then 23rd. "But while I delight in God's law, there is another law at work, waging war against the law in my mind. And the result? Making me a prisoner of the law of sin." Wow. That means who wins? Sin wins eventually. He was a prisoner of sin. He was captured by sin. He was controlled by sin. All his action is not himself. It's not what he wants. And then, as there comes the exclamation, "Oh, what a wretched man I am." And he called out, "Who will rescue me from this body that is subjected to death?" Now, up to this point, Paul was trying to do things himself, trying to resist sin, and he lost. He knew that there was something good in him, but he cannot do it. And then comes the answer, "Thanks be God, who delivered me through Jesus Christ our Lord." All of a sudden, he realized that With his human weakness, he cannot win this war. And only God can rescue him from this inner struggle and the outer action. So it is important that we want to do the detoxification to get rid of our bad addiction, not by ourselves, but not by our own flesh and blood, but relying on God. Okay, comes to the last and the most important part. We knew that how bad it is and how easily we can fall into this trap of digital addiction. Now comes the part how we can resolve the situation. Now, does anybody use ChatGPT? Nope. ChatGPT is like fire. It is a good servant, but a bad master. I use it to check facts. It's very good, very fast. Because I knew some of the answers, and sometimes, you know, I forgot certain names and certain facts. It's not new to me. I just need to be reminded. And ChatGPT is a very fast way to get the answer. And sometimes, you know, they organize a lot of things and present it to us. So it's a good servant, but don't let it be your master. If you didn't learn anything and you try to get the answer from ChatGPT, then it is a bad master because he's not controlling you. Okay, so I check with the ChatGPT and said, well, what are the strategies that we could get out of detoxification? How can we free from this digital bondage? Well, I guess some of the answers, because this is what you can get from the computer, I'm not going to talk too much about. I want to talk about something that is more spiritual. Remember when we first started getting this trap of digital addiction is that we turn from a master into a slave. We used to be able to control, and now we're being controlled. So how can we do the detoxification? How can we break free this digital bondage? Is to reverse this process. So you're going to turn from slave back to master. So the first thing is back to the control. How can we control ourselves? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give you the fruit, the ninth fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the last one is self-control. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit will have fruits in you, bear fruits in you, and you will be able to have this self-control. How are we going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I think your Sunday school teacher already told you. Simple to know, hard to do. Basically, read your Bible, pray, have good relationship with God. Be submissive to God's instruction. Listen to Him and follow Him. That is the way to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And then the second thing is learn to have quiet time and do nothing. What does that mean? Well, quiet time, we know. We just turn off everything that is, you know, the noise, you know, turn off the music, turn off the ringtone of your the notification for the cell phone. Go to a quiet place and do nothing. This is what they call meditation. Let yourself empty, pour out all the unnecessary thoughts, the daily worries. But doing it actively, you just empty things out. Don't let yourself be occupied by unnecessary ideas. Remember, one of the problems is that we're preoccupied by the video games and then all those things. Let yourself be quiet down, relax. Right? And then, of course, the first thing you get up, what do? Grab the cell phone, check the messages. Well, it's not a bad thing, but I would say, please check the message from the important person. See what God has to talk to you first. Don't worry about other people. Go to your Bible app. What is the message of the day? What is the passage of the day? Think about it. Be relaxed and be led by God's word. And then restate or redefine your life purpose. A lot of people, they want to play video games just for what? For escape. And or they all keep playing video games and they forgot why. Therefore, why am I here for? It just like seeing those guinea pig keep running those, what's that called, the circle. They're busy, but they're not getting anywhere. Are we playing video games, not getting anywhere? Where? Do I have a life purpose? What do I want to achieve with my time? I got to be able to tell myself. I should be able to write it down on a piece of paper and put it up there. Of course, there are different way to think about it, to organize it, like a short-term life goal, medium-term life goal, and a long-term life goal. Spend time, think about it, and even talk to a counselor so that you can find your life goal. And then, as I said, some people want to do the digital thing to escape. So you got to come back to know what it is and be able to face it so that you don't need this digital addiction to numb yourself. And then a lot of people, you know, want to play digital devices because they're bored. So fill your boredom with God's truth. God has a lot to talk to you. He wants you to fill your boring life with exciting words. Be familiar with that. And last, not the least, is to experience God's power through prayer. You got to talk to Him, talk to God. Like Paul says, who's going to help me? I know. Come to God. Tell Him what you want. Tell him your problem. So that you can experience the power of God. I want to share with you about one organization. It's called the Operation Dawn. And it has branches in different places. And of course, the one in Canada called Operation Dawn Canada. Operation Dawn actually starts in the famous Golden Triangle. You know where it is? The Golden Triangle? What is it famous for? Producing opium. Those are the meeting point, the triangle, where the three Asian countries are, the Thailand, Burma, and I forgot. The three, the area that nobody really, not one country has the power to rule over. And this ruled by the local gangsters. And they plant opium there. And of course, they sell it to them. But in addition, some of the local people start taking it too. And that's why this is where the Operation Dawn started. A lot of the statistics tell us that how we do the detoxification is by taking drugs. And a lot of these, they don't have a lot of success rate. They have about maybe 20% success rate, and it relapses a lot. But with this, Operation Dawn, it is really nice. They are at least 2 to 3 times much better than the traditional way of detoxification. And the one in Canada is headed by Pastor Liu. He was a drug addict. Surprise? Not only that, he was a gangster. He was a gangster. And he got into drug addict. And then he believed in Christ. And then he go through this Operation Dawn detoxification. He experienced the grace of God and the power. You know that how hard it is to detox. But he detoxed successfully. And then I actually visited them. And they actually do a lot of things. Socially, they are living together. These people, they have a nice schedule. Operation Dawn Canada is actually a big house. And it takes inmates, right? People, they're going to live there for a year. And they're programmed every day. And they don't go home. Not even Christmas, New Year. They stay there. And they have schedules. And one of the schedules is actually Bible study. And they have other training too. And this one, this class is actually, I was the one leading the Bible studies. The Bible studies, what else do they do? They go out and they have a backyard. They plant. They do things. They have basketball. They have a gym, a little exercise area in the basement. And then they have music. There's a teacher come and teach them guitar, ukulele, and they sing hymns. And these people, they come from, depending, sometimes, for now they have a few, come from Taiwan, so they are Mandarin speaking. They live together. And they have a schedule, they stick to it, they pray, they read Bible, and then they cook, and then they do other things. They do gardening and exercise. And one of them actually joined, I think he was at his 30s, and his problem was alcohol. And once he got in there, he trained himself physically. And one of the things is he went on a marathon run. And he won. He was the first one. And then when they called him out for a prize presentation, because his English is not very good. He didn't even know that they were calling him. So he was quite surprised. You can see an alcoholic. You know, you're not very good. You're not in very good health when you're alcoholic. And he went in there and go through all this and he trained himself and he could win a marathon. And they're really experiencing God's power and His grace. So before I leave, I want to give a challenge to you. You know what is Sabbath, right? Just do nothing. So I'm gonna give you a challenge that maybe you're gonna try a digital Sabbath. And what does that mean? You know, you put away your cell phone. Put away your cell phone. Go somewhere in the nature. Try to have some meditation, some soft music maybe. Look around. Enjoy the nature. Build up your relationship with God. And most of all, be free again from this bondage. I like one of the lyrics of the song earlier. It's, where Christ is, we are free. Christ has already paid the price to free us from the bondage of sin. So we don't need to jump back in. Let's pray together. Father God, we really thank you because in you we have the true freedom. And we know that we are living in an evil time. Things are very dangerous. And they're easy to fall into the traps. Father, give us the freedom. Give us the Holy Spirit and so that our life will be guided in the right way. Protect us from all detection, from temptation. And bless your children. In Jesus' name we pray.